Hallelujah. Certainly was his mercy. Amen. Amen. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Nice to be back together again. Shortly before we left the house, I looked at our little weather app and it said, no chance of rain. And I thought, yeah, okay, it's going to rain all around us like it usually does. And then I'm hearing lightning, or I'm hearing thunder, and there's lightning that's flashing. And next thing I know, we got a deluge. And I've always wanted a swimming pool, but I didn't want it in my driveway. It really poured. And then I looked at my app, and it said, oh, yeah, there's a real good chance of rain. Okay. Well, we thank the Lord for the rain. You know, it's amazing that they can predict the weather as well as they can, but even so, 10 days ago, they were saying we were going to have a good amount of rain today, that the monsoon would kick in. But even when it's coming through, you know, it's deciding which corridor to pass through, right? So I'm glad that it isn't my job to predict the weather. Of course, in Arizona, it wouldn't be too hard, would it? You know, 300 days out of the year, you could say it's going to be sunny and no clouds. And you're right. So if you just said it 365 days, you'd be right more than you're wrong, right? Praise the Lord. So I agree with you, Brother Eli. That's the first thought that came to my mind when I heard that there's a position or an opportunity for Brother Collins to apply for a job in the Tucson sector. There's a need, and God provides. I believe that with all my heart. He'll create a job if he has to. In fact, I've seen him make companies, right? And he'll do it for one person. Amen. Amen. So I'm thankful to have my better half back tonight. She was on a trip to care for her 93-year-old mother for 13 days or so. Well, it was exactly 13 days. Ask me how I knew. And we're thankful that God gave us family to take care of. And we gratefully accept that responsibility. And, you know, Mom and Dad, they take care of us when we're young and beyond many times. And then we take care of them one day when they're in their golden years. And I'm saying that so that my kids will remember. If the Lord tarries, we're thankful for family, aren't we? And then just before I went to pick up my wife last night, not just before it, but yesterday, I received a crown. But it's not the crown that I'm waiting for, right? It was a molar and way in the back, so it was probably one of the toughest ones for to the dentist to get access to. And so they got your mouth all propped open and got you laying flat. But I'm thankful that the technology is here and that my tooth was wearing down, and then it was kind of chipping away as it does as you get older, and it was sharp. And even just preaching, it would kind of rub on my tongue, and so I'm thankful that that's taken care of. We also would like you to keep us in prayer, if you would, for Sister Jennifer and I leave in the morning to have a part in the church dedication meetings at the Christian Fellowship Tabernacle in Manassas, Virginia. Rosalind and Rosamond's brother, James, he's the pastor of that church, and so they'll be having their meetings. And so if you would remember us in prayer, we appreciate that. As well as, you know, it's just that time of the year where one family goes, another comes back, and it'll be that way until after Labor Day. So just keep one another in prayer, if you would. Before we get into the Word this evening, I was looking at a message earlier today as the Spirit was leading me, and I heard a statement that Brother Branham made before he took his text, and it was in a message. It was the first time that he brought a message having to do with the unwelcome Christ, and he took the scripture where Jesus was invited, and yet they didn't minister to him. And he preached that later, other times later, and sometimes the title would be Jesus with Dirty Feet or the Unwelcome Christ. This first time he preached it, the message was called Pride. Anyway, Brother Bram said, now, he says, before we open the book, he was reminding the people, he says, anybody can open the pages, but only the one that wrote it, right, can give us the interpretation of it. The way he said it, he said, there's only one that can unravel that word, right? And that's the Holy Spirit. And he reminds us that men of old were moved by the Holy Spirit to write the word, and how the word written all over all those years by all these different scribes, and yet it doesn't contradict, and how God watches over the word. But before he reads his text and goes to prayer, he says he's the only one that can interpret the scripture correctly. And he said, each one of us, we make a try at it. But until we become anointed, then we get ourselves into it, right? And he says, as long as self is in it, well, then the Holy Spirit can't be in it, as long as self is in it. Now, that's true for the preaching of the word, but it's also true for the receiving of it. The one that wrote it has to be the one that reveals it to you. Otherwise, we're putting our own thought to it, right? So that's our desire as we read the word tonight, as we look at the word, that the author of the word would speak to our hearts. So I'd like to read from Romans chapter 16, once again, verses 25 through 27, and then we'll read from Revelation 22, 16 through 17. So Romans 16, verse 25. He says, Paul says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. I wonder how many people got hung up over that. Your gospel? Who do you think you are? God's anointed. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Once again, from Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and the morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will. Well, he breaks his, there's room for everybody. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Amen. It's freely given. Amen. You can freely receive. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. We want to speak once again on the revelation of the mystery. Excuse me, choking myself. The revelation of the mystery. So this would be part three. How many would like to be remembered in prayer? You have a need, just make it known. Father, as we bow our heads to the dust of the earth this evening, Lord, we're looking to you, the author and finisher of our faith, Lord, and Father, to follow in the footsteps of our messenger, Lord, we recognize that any human being can read from a text. Any human being can open the written word and read from it, but only the author can, as he would put it, unravel those words and reveal it to us, Lord. So we're looking to you. We're looking to the very same one that anointed men of old to write this word. We're looking for that very same anointing to be on us this evening, Lord, to receive the revelation of that word as you speak to our hearts. Father, meet every need here tonight, we pray. Minister to each one according to their need. Lord, you see all the uplifted hands in the building and no doubt those that are listening in. And so, Father, we're counting on you, we're trusting in you, and we're just going to, Lord, we're going to give you thanks right now because we know you're faithful. And, Lord, we're doing the part that you told us to do, and you've already done your part, but you told us to ask that we would receive. And so, Lord, we're doing that. We're making the request known, Father, putting it before the body. And so we thank you for it, Lord. Now speak to our hearts. Minister to each and every one, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So we know that the revealed word of this hour has called us out of the slavery and the bondage of sin and the things that had us bound, the characteristics of our first nature that Satan so eloquently used to keep us in bondage. We were born in bondage. We were born in sin, right? But we're thankful that we've been set free from that. We've been called out to commune with the Word, to fellowship with the Word, to walk with the Word, we've been called into His presence. And friends, what a privilege, what an honor it is, what a high calling that it is to be called into an Enoch type of a walk with God. So we are now hidden away in Him. It doesn't break on you until it breaks on you. But Brother Branham referred to the scripture. He said, Jesus said, in that day you'll know that I'm in the Father in me, and I in you, and you in me, right? He said, that day is this day, right? Well, that has to break on you, right? His presence is here. And we have been called to walk in His presence and for His Word to abide in us. And so we are now hidden away in Him, and He's placed us upon a rock of the revelation of His Word, which is our subject, right, that we've been looking at here for a few services. So He is speaking literally to us, lip to ear, as His Word is revealed to us by His Spirit. There's no other more direct way that He could speak to you. It's His Word is already there, but now He's speaking it. It's quickened to you. And I don't want to say it's just as if He's speaking to you. He is speaking to you. Amen. And that revealed Word is empowering us, as we looked at on Sunday. It's empowering us to overcome the trials, the temptations of our faith. And in this, the darkest of all ages, He's equipped us and prepared us, and it's the revealing of the Word that empowers you to overcome. Amen. So things have been revealed in our age that have broken the powers of hell from our lives. Amen. I'm not a captive, are you? Amen. God has dealt with our past, and He has predestined our future. So why is it so hard to believe that the same one that erased our past also has written our future? Your life is found in His Word. And there's no life outside of His Word. And His Word in you is power. So as a reminder of what we looked at this last Sunday, just to backdrop just a little bit, revelation is not information. Revelation is not mental knowledge or mental understanding, though those things come with it. Revelation is power. It is that Word alive in you, and it always brings with it a change in you, if it's revelation. Amen. And denominations, they'll key on certain teachings, key in on certain interpretations of the Word above everybody else's. And all that produces is a bunch of arguers, a bunch of debaters who are lifted up in pride, and they claim to be the only true elect of God, the only true believers. There's nobody else but them. But revelation, God quickening His Word to you, it is power. It is life. It's power to make that Word live, and it's power to accomplish what that Word was sent to do. Amen. And it changes you from glory to glory to glory. And it will culminate in one final change, which is the change of your body. Amen. And that's why revelation is so important to the believer in Christ. Revelation means more to the believer than anything else. And the rapture of the church, it is entirely dependent on the revelation of the rapture to the end time church. That has to become a revelation. Amen. And when we, you know, for instance, when we preach divine healing, it is the revelation of the word of healing to you that brings your healing into manifestation in your body. Anybody can read it, right? You have the information, you have the knowledge, but the revelation is what puts it into action. So you are taught what the word declares concerning your healing, but it's not enticing words of man's wisdom, to use Paul's words, but it is the word going forth from living vessels, and it is the very same spirit that is with the word that then reveals that word to you, and in you then is the power for the manifestation of that healing. No revelation, no healing. So we know that we are all born illegitimate by our first birth, putting it one way, coming into this world as a result of a physical act between a man and a woman, which we know is the permissive will of God. And because our first birth results in an illegitimate child, the solution for the dilemma is to be born from above. We become new creatures in Christ Jesus, as Paul says, and we are the legitimate sons and daughters of God by the seed word that is quickened, that lays down on the inside. Amen? And we recall in a shadow type in the Old Testament that Ruth the Moabitish, she was illegitimate based on Lot intermixing with his daughters, and you know, they settled in Moab. They never did come into the land. And God took that Moabite woman and he justified her to where she was now of the royal lineage and would be the mother that the royal lineage would carry on through. And God, so it shows that God can dismiss that first birth and give us liberty and power by the second birth. And that second birth, in that second birth is the word made power. So God anointed Moses with a mighty anointing in the day that Moses was here. But Moses had got to the place where he had too much work to do to look after the church all by himself, even though he had the sufficient anointing to do so. So God takes that anointing that was on Moses and he divides it among 70 men that he then puts over the people to help the people and minister to the people. And friends, so is it today. Brother Branham was sent for with a message to an entire age, to the Laodicean church age, but he couldn't carry out all of the oversight of the church by himself. And some are trying to give him that job. Some are trying to do away with the ministry, and they say, well, just listen to the tapes. Oh, okay, so one man's going to do it all. No, there's no pattern for that. Amen. The same God that anointed him is the same God that's anointing you and I tonight. So God has taken that anointing for the age, that eagle anointing, and he's placed it on men that he's raised up in this age to labor on behalf of the people. And that spirit is still among us, friends. And that spirit is still anointing men to bring God's people into his presence. And that anointing is on every son and daughter of God that are born of the Spirit of God, that are born from above. Paul says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, he says, God, so remember, this is the one that did this, God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. So God spoke to the prophets, right? We believe that? He hath in these last days spoken unto us. That'll break on you at some point in time. He spoke to the prophets. Now he's speaking to you. How is he speaking to you? By his son. Who is his son? The word. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things. By whom also he made the worlds. That's the one that's speaking to you tonight. That's the one that's trying to get a hold of our hearts. That's the one that wants to, as Brother Eli prayed, that's the one that wants to meet your need. That's the one that wants to do all these things for you. But you have to know that it's Him, and you have to believe that it's Him, and He wants to make that known to you. Hallelujah. In the message, The Unveiling God, Brother Brown says, think the mysteries of God made known to us in this day by the same heavenly messenger that was made known to them in them days. Notice the same pillar of fire that sent Moses, the same pillar of fire that was on Moses that wrote the Bible, the same pillar of fire that Paul met on his road to Damascus, and Paul wrote the New Testament. Remember, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they only wrote what they seen. But Paul had the revelation. He pulled it out, for he had met the pillar of fire himself. Amen. So Paul asked this very same pillar of fire that Moses spoke to, and that spoke to Moses, he asked this very same pillar of fire the question, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the answer came back, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." So the very same one that anointed Moses to write the first five books of the Bible, now, as Jesus Christ, has impressed Paul to write the New Testament. Again, paragraph 299, he says, and think of it. The same pillar of fire that came upon those men that wrote the Bible is the same pillar of fire here today interpreting the Bible. So he wrote it, and now he's interpreting it. But it's the same one. He says, amen. Oh, how we thank Him for that. The same. What a comfort. What an identification. I'm so glad to be identified in that. I don't know what to do. I'd rather be identified in that than all the Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, and all the rest of them identified in that word where the Shekinah glory and revelation lays. Identified in that word where the Shekinah glory and revelation lays. It's still true tonight, friends. Let that sink in for a moment. Let that move upon your heart. Let that move upon your understanding. You're living in a day just like Moses did when Moses was writing the Old Testament, or the five books of the Old Testament. The very same one that was with Moses is the very same one that's with us today, interpreting to us what He gave Moses and what He told Moses to write. So imagine, if you will, sitting in the very same camp at the very same time when Moses was listening to God and was writing down what God was saying to him. Imagine being there in Paul's day when that very same pillar of fire, not a different one, that very same pillar of fire was speaking to Paul, and Paul was writing down into a New Testament of the Bible what he was hearing. Imagine being there knowing that a light was appearing over Paul and was explaining to Paul what Moses wrote in the Old Testament. Moses took us back through the Old Testament and the law and showed us that it was a shadow of what he was now bringing. He saw the very same thing because it was the very same one that showed Moses that's now showing Paul. Now, what a time that you and I are living in today when the very same pillar of fire has returned again and is taking what both Moses and Paul wrote and is explaining to us what those things meant. And it's not a private interpretation. It's the same Spirit revealing it to you. Friends, it's no different than Him revealing it to Paul. It's no different than Him revealing it to Moses. It's the same one. And He's watching over His word. And He'll make that word live. So in these last days, He's spoken to us, as Paul said, through His Son, Jesus Christ. So these things are no longer a mystery to us, as we looked at back last Sunday. I don't want to go back over it because I got a little bit of hay on my fort tonight. I want to get through this. These things are no longer a mystery to us. And if they still are a mystery, you should pray to God for a revelation. Because the mystery of God is to be made known. So God is no longer silent, but he has roared as a lion in this last day. And as a result, we can ask, who can but prophesy? And we are told that the bride will prophesy again. Amen. Amos 3:8 says, the lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken, who can but prophesy? So he's revealed to us the word in this last day in such power and in such vindication that the question now is, who can but prophesy? Friends, we're beyond excuse. God has proven it more in this age than any other time. And he has vindicated it time and time again in the past. But it's beyond being proven in this hour. So if we believe and can receive that very same word and allow the very same author that wrote that word to reveal it to us, now that it has been released, amen, it's power in your life. And it will change you. So he's revealed to us the word in this last day in such power and such vindication. And as a result, the people that have heard the revelation of the mystery, they've received it by a new commission. Amen. The great commission was never fulfilled, but it is to be fulfilled in this last day. The scriptures are being written, if you can receive it tonight, a third time. But this time they are living epistles that are being written in the hearts of flesh and are lived before all men. Amen. It's the same word. Don't take me the wrong way. It's the same word. It's not changed one iota, but it's living word. Hallelujah. So a new commission has been given to the church, and it is to prophesy again. So we're not talking about what has already been said to now, and then we add to that, or we take away from it, or change somehow what they said. We are prophesying again the very things that have been unveiled in this generation. We are speaking what has already been said and what has been revealed to us, not just repeating it again without spiritual understanding, but we're speaking it with revelation. We're speaking it with understanding as sons and daughters of God. Now, some believe that the ministry should just constrain themselves to, you know, teach Jesus only as a history lesson, Jesus, right? But Bible schools have already done that. And they do that. And that did not fulfill the Great Commission. And it was the vindication of the word was not there when they preached the historical Jesus. Now, friends, we're not, of course, we speak of what he was. But if speaking of what he was is so you can identify him as who he is now, because he's the same. So if you can see how he was, you should be able to see how he is. Because he's the great I am, not the great I was. Hallelujah. So Bible schools, they don't have the vindication. They're bringing a history lesson. But we've been commissioned to preach the second coming of the Lord. Come on, friends. And this revealed word is preparing a bride for a rapture in this generation. And we cannot lay aside what a prophet taught us about the scripture. We are under a commission to say again what's on those tapes and in those books, but to say it with revelation, with understanding. We've eaten it. We've digested it. It's been broken down. It's been revealed to us. And now it has added to us. And now it is power within us. So can you imagine tonight, friends, a scientist trying to, you know, as we looked at on Sunday, trying to expound on atomic power and relativity. But then he goes back and he refers to what they were teaching 1,000 years ago. How can he talk about present truth by referring back to another age that knows nothing of atomic power? Luther's generation didn't know anything about the rapture. They did not have rapturing faith. But rapturing faith wasn't given. It wasn't needed. Hallelujah. So how can you and I be relevant in this last generation unless we dig into the things that have been revealed in our day and say, God, make those words real to me. Break it upon me. Nobody will have to pump me up. Nobody will have to get after me and say, well, why don't you, you know, why aren't you happy? Why aren't you moved? You'll be moved. Hallelujah. We first must be willing to acknowledge the teachings of a prophet on the scriptures to be thus saith the Lord. Now, we know everything he said wasn't thus saith the Lord, but let me remind you tonight, everything you say isn't either. And yet you know the difference. The Spirit in you can discern. Hallelujah. So that revealed word is what catches the attention of the elect of God and pulls them out of the world into his presence. Even though we're still in this world, we're not of the world. Amen. And it is the very same revealed word that will take a bride into a rapture and into a change of the body. It's not, Brother Branham didn't come with a new word. It's the same word. But it's alive. It's quickened. This day, this scripture is fulfilled. So, let me ask you tonight. How can we preach a rapture without preaching what has been revealed to us according to the rapture? We're told that rapturing faith lies in the message, in the tapes, right? So if we talk only, notice that word, only of a man in a one-piece robe that walked around the Sea of Galilee 2,000 years ago, that will not put rapturing faith in the hearts of the people. How do I know? Show me where it ever did produce a rapture. It never did. It wasn't supposed to. It had a purpose, but that wasn't it. So we've been commissioned to preach these things, but our last day commission has not been well received by the masses or by the religious leaders of the world. We have been commissioned to repeat. Somebody say repeat. By his Spirit, the things that have been revealed and taught in our day, and to reconfirm it in the lives of the people. Oh, he'll do that. He'll vindicate it. If we preach it the way he wrote it, under the same inspiration, it'll produce the same thing in a believing heart. Hallelujah. But we find that there's a pattern that's repeating again in our day, and thank God that he lays these patterns out for us, or we wouldn't know where we're at, or what was going on. We know that in the days of David, that God anointed David through Samuel to be the king that would sit upon the throne, right? But even though God had already anointed David to sit on the throne, he was not received as a king. And he was not allowed to sit on the throne in Jerusalem for many years. He was actually anointed in Hebron, but was a fugitive and an outcast for 7 years, seven church ages. Among those that he was anointed and sent to rule over by that anointing. And he was actually pushed out of the city of rulership, right? Jerusalem. And he was forced to live as an outcast, and he was treated as if he was a criminal. They attacked him. They wanted to destroy him because he was the anointed one. And his being on the earth, anointed of God, that was a reminder to Saul that his kingdom on the earth was finished and that Saul was no longer the anointed of God. Saul's headship was now lifeless. So this anointed message is a constant reminder today to the denominations that their time is no more. And that there's a new king that's coming on the throne. Just as it was with David, the vindicated and anointed word today has been pushed out of the city. The church of Laodicea. And, you know, a church is a type of a city, a church is a type of a woman. And is being treated as a criminal. The word is outcast. Amen. And those that are in power from within the city, they want to destroy the influence that it has among the people, and they want to hold on to their empty thrones in the city. And it's a sign to them that their time is over. The time for the church ages is over. The time for God to speak through the church, the wheat plant, is over. Now the life is in the seed. So it's a sign to them that their time is over, that time is no more for the wheat plant. And so no wonder they push the vindicated interpretation of God's word outside of the city. But they can't kill it. They can't run it off because it's coming into power. And it's speaking of a kingdom that is being ushered in, that will be fully ushered in the millennium. So while David was roaming about the outside of the city, there were Gentiles that were rallied around David that became David's mighty warriors. Amen? Amen. They stood with David. No matter what others did, no matter what others said about David, they stuck with him. They didn't wait for him to come on his throne. They stuck with him. He was the anointed of God. They followed that anointed king, and they were sensitive to the very least of his wishes. Right? Friends, we can't please God unless we're sensitive to his... What would you desire, Lord? How could I serve you? How could I help you? What could I do? So he wasn't ruling yet on the throne, but he was ruling among them as their king. They looked at him as their king. And when he finally did come upon his throne, he took those very same warriors with them and set them up in positions of rulership in his kingdom. Right? That pattern is laying there for a reason. So one day, King Jesus is going to come into his throne, his physical throne. And those that have stood with him, those that have fought for him before he's seated in his own throne, when he was an outcast, when he was ill spoken of in the churches, that very same one is going to rule and reign with him in his new kingdom in the millennium. Amen. How many can say amen to that? Amen. So today, friends, he is our king. Amen. He's not our soon and coming king. He's my king now. Amen. Hallelujah. He's my everything. Amen. He's my all. He's my everything, both great and small. Hallelujah. He will tear down every throne, and he will set up a new throne that's high above every power. Amen. And this bride will sit with him on the throne for 1,000 years and will reign with him. We are the children of that kingdom. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So we've taken our place in this hour. Outside of the camp, as we looked at on Sunday, we have to go outside of the camp because he was put outside of the camp. So, and he said, come out of her, my people. Be not partakers of her sins. Come out. So if you want to walk with him, you want to fellowship with him, you got to come out. You got to come where he's at, and he's outside the camp. He was crucified outside of the city. He's crucified outside of the churches. Hallelujah. So, many distractions have risen up to take our eyes off of that revealed word as we focused on Sunday. And I hope you just, go back and listen to it again. I believe that the time is right for this. Many distractions have risen up to take our eyes off of that revealed word. It doesn't matter what you put your eyes on. As long as it isn't on the revealed word, the word's not going to do anything. Amen. To take our eyes off of that revealed word, and to there are attempts to discredit that word, to water it down, to plant seeds of doubt. Troubles arise in the church. Troubles arise in the family, in the world, in an attempt to pull our focus off of the revealed word. That's the only thing we should be looking at. Don't look at me or you. See that lovely one who's coming into plain view. Hallelujah. So Satan wants us to gaze upon trouble, so that trouble will be what possesses us. What you gaze on is what you become. But I don't want to look at the serpent. I want to look to the word. our focus is on the revealed word. And this is what empowers us and carries us over our troubles. Don't look for something else. Just say, God, make that real to me. The word will do what it was sent to do. Hallelujah. So our focus is on the revealed word. It empowers us. It carries us over. It takes us through. And so, you know, many times in churches, the lady will try to pull the focus of the ministry many times onto something, you know, something else to try to redirect what comes across the pulpit. I've been told straight up what to preach and what not to preach. And men will, I wouldn't go to a church where I had to tell somebody what to preach and what not to preach. How could I have confidence in that? Men will try and tell the ministry to focus maybe on the Jesus of history rather than the Jesus of today. Amen. There are churches in our ranks, in our city. I can say it because they say it. They say, we're just going to preach Jesus. Well, so are we. Amen. The living Jesus. So a look back only ministry, it won't change anybody because that's not the living word in this hour. Men will even be challenged to focus on maybe just a portion of the word rather than to take the whole thing. But I'm thankful that Paul said, I didn't fail to bring you the full counsel of God. So the whole revealed word is preparing us for a rapture. Now, friends, I've had people ask me, you know, as Brother Eli was burdened to work on the Spanish translation and to see that got finished, I've had people say to me, well, how many messages do you need? You know, it's like, what a dumb question. I don't know. All I know is that we've got a message. And I can't tell you which message is the message. Right? Why not have it all available? Then do with it whatever you want. We have it all. There's not a part of it that I want to get rid of. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It was sent to bring a rapture. Well, we're going to listen to something. We're going to read something. We're going to give our attention to something. So if I'm giving my attention to a portion that wasn't maybe necessarily needed for the rapture, so what? I don't believe that, but so what? It's better than looking at all the other things that people... What else are you going to look at? Where else are you going to put your confidence? Where else do we have, thus saith the Lord? We've never had such a vindication as we do in this hour. Hallelujah. So Nehemiah built a pulpit once, and he used it to bring an understanding to a people that were listening. God has set a pulpit today, friends, to bring rapturing faith to people who will take a rapture. It's necessary. And so it's no wonder that the devil wants to pull the focus from one direction to another, right? But the word declares, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And he is the word. So as the brass serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, and you had to gaze on that brass serpent if you wanted something to change in your life, if you wanted to be healed, if you wanted to receive that healing, you had to look. If you wanted to live, you had to look. Look and live. So shall the Son of Man be lifted up. What are we looking at? The unfailing body word of the Son of Man? Hallelujah. But so just as they had to gaze upon the brazen serpent, you have to look. Amen. And it matters what you look at. Don't look at me or you. Hallelujah. There's disappointment everywhere. But I'm never disappointed in Him. I'm not disappointed in this message. As a good friend, a minister, a notable minister, told me one time, I expressed to him, you know, how if this wasn't the truth, I would have left it a long time ago. he misunderstood what I was saying, and he said to me, "Brother Baker, I'm not a bit disappointed in this message." That's exactly what I was saying in different words. I would have left, but I'm not disappointed. I'm not disappointed in the message. But people will disappoint you. Come on, friends. You just have angels with fluffy wings everywhere in your life. Jesus had devils that were on his heels all the time, trying to bring him down. If that happened in the Messiah, how much more will it happen in the children of the kingdom? Amen. So, it doesn't matter what your need or your question is today. Let me say this with as much unction as I can. It doesn't matter what your need is or your question is. The message is the answer. You say, "Well, I thought the Bible is." The message is light shining. It's the revealing, the opening of the word to you. You take away the message and you still have a closed book. Hallelujah. So this message, it'll heal a broken family. It'll heal broken lives. It'll set souls free, no matter how bound they are. It'll repair lives. And it'll make believers of unbelievers. Hallelujah. It'll turn your life around. So if we lift up the Son of Man, friends, we will see power flowing from our lives. But that's what we need to be looking at. How can I be disappointed if I'm looking to Him? Matthew 11, verse 12. "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John." So John, we know, was preparing a way for the coming of the Lord. And John, Jesus said, was the greatest of the Old Testament prophets because he was not prophesying in part of his coming, but in the fullness. Amen. He was literally preparing the way and then introducing Jesus, the complete sum total of the word. So John unveiled before us the greatest power that ever came on the earth. And he introduced the headship of the word that would then bleed and then would die, would become our savior, would become our redeemer, would become our intercessor. And then in our day, before his second coming, in 1933, a light appeared over the Ohio River, over Brother Branham, when the 17th person was being baptized. Now, where were the critics when this light was shining over the prophet? And a voice spake, and that voice said, "As John the Baptist foreran the first coming of the Lord, so will your message forerun his second coming." It's still forerunning his second coming. So this ministry ministered unto us an entrance into the kingdom that brought power in its fullness to the church. Amen. What the church has been lacking for over the last 2,000 years in the fullness. And now this kingdom has to be taken by force. An entrance was ministered, but now it must be taken. Are you with me? Don't be lazy. Don't listen to those lazy preachers that are preaching que sera, sera, whatever will be. Just accept them, just believe, and that's all there is to it. Well, if you believe, if you have accepted them, you're going to press. You're not going to stay outside the city. You're going to press into that city. Hallelujah. So this kingdom must be taken by force. The law and the prophets, friends, they foretold of the coming of a kingdom. But now, since Elijah, this kingdom is to be taken by force. The devil isn't just going to freely let you take what you need from this meeting tonight without some opposition. I never got anything from God that I didn't have to pay a little bit of a price for. I'm not saying I had to pay a whole lot, but there was something that I had to do, right? I'm not a piece of dirt or a
stone that God is just going to pick up from here and move over to there. I have something to do. That's why he put me here. So the devil will fight you, and you're going to have to wrestle sometimes to take what God has given you, to take it by force. Now, I guess this just isn't preached often enough, because the first time we get prayed for something and the next day it doesn't happen. And so then we go through the first, second, and third pull of what did I do wrong? And what's wrong with that guy that prayed for me? And why didn't this work? It wasn't revealed to you, right? It has to become real to you. When it becomes real to you, it doesn't matter when the manifestation takes place. It's real to you at that moment. But you have to say, your symptoms might get worse, right? You might get sicker, right? The devil might raise up all kinds of things around you. You pray for your family. The devil might inject them with some poison and cause them to act up like they never did before. And then you say, well, so I'm going to have to ask every, you know, I'm going to have to just keep coming up and asking for prayer for this or that or the other. No, you've got to take that, hold on to it, and press. And say, I'm not letting go of this. God is going to do it. I'm not going to make it happen. The word is power. But it's been revealed to me. It's his word. He's going to do it. I ain't moving, devil. You're not going to hear a negative testimony out of my mouth. By his stripes, I'm healed. My family is going to be there. My family is saved. That job is going to be there. Whatever it might be, you're going to have to hold on to it. You're going to have to grab it. And Satan will try to shake you free. That's the battle. Hallelujah. So you're going to have to press sometimes through doubts. You're going to have to press through feelings. You're going to have to press through symptoms. You're going to have to press through imaginations. You're going to have to press through memories sometimes. But press you will. Because you will take what belongs to you by force. The blessings of the kingdom are here tonight. There's not one more thing that God has to add to the church. It's here. But now we've got to press through unbelief. We've got to press into what God has for us in our lives. And if you believe it, you're going to do that. There's power here by the revealing of his word, friends. We are breaking into the kingdom of God. An entrance has been ministered unto us abundantly. But you've got to walk into it. You've got to press. Come on, friends. Amen. Paul said he pressed. Right. We've got to press. Right. Hallelujah. Fellowship by redemption. Brother Branham says, then when God lets your spirit loose, he's speaking about when we come back, he says, when God lets your spirit loose, it picks up what? It comes out of the sixth dimension into the fifth, cosmic light. It comes out of the light into petroleums, out of petroleum into the senses. And here you are back on the earth again, a brand new person. Not an old, broke down, but never to be sick. Your hair will never turn gray. You will never be wrinkled. You'll never separate no more. You'll never die. You'll never be hungry. You'll never have a worry. You'll walk with your loved ones. And you'll shake their hands and you'll eat and you'll drink and you'll build houses and inhabit them and live forever and ever in the presence of the Lord Jesus. That's what you've got this morning because you heard the word. It's the hearing of the word. You've got to hear that word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. It's so simple. But we want to make it complicated. But it's God in simplicity. There's power in that word. It'll do what he said it to do. But will we hold on? Can you imagine what shape Rahab, the harlot, would have been in if she would have never heard the word? She was a citizen of Jericho. And she was behind the walls of the city. Amen? Which is a type of being, you know, caught up and stuck in the denomination, right? God couldn't make a covenant with her because he couldn't call her outside of the walls of the walled city. So a member of the walled city, friends, could not respond to the Jubilee trumpet when it sounded. Because you had to be outside of the city. Amen. You didn't even hear it if you were inside the city. But God had two ministering angels that he sent to go into this city to preach to this little Gentile lady. And when they preached the word, oh, hallelujah, they carried her the ability, friends, for her to change her dwelling place. They brought to her the revealed word. It had to come through flesh, but it was the revealed word. And the revealing of that word to her was power. The revealing of that word to her was life. So they brought to her the ability to switch her citizenship. To no longer be a citizen of that captive city. But to be free. To come out. So she heard a word that said come out. An entrance was being ministered to her. Out of the city and into something else. So she heard a word that allowed her to turn from the harlot of Jericho and become a virgin, casting aside all that she was. Her life was cast behind her. It was in the sea of forgetfulness. Her life went down when those walls crumbled. There was no evidence of her life any longer. She's outside of the city. She's alive. She's a citizen. She's not a harlot. Hallelujah. She heard the word and it freed her from her first birth. And it freed her from the identification of that first birth so that she could outwardly display a sign that showed that she was under another kingdom. Under the influence of another kingdom. She put that evidence on the outside. She hung it outside on the wall. Not for those inside the city, but to show outwardly, this is my salvation. I believe. So she heard the word that freed her, and she put out of her house a token sign that said, life is in here. I don't have to die with these others. I've been told these others are going to die, but I don't have to. Hallelujah. It was a token that was displayed on the outside of a walled city by a scarlet thread. Friends, God couldn't destroy or wouldn't destroy Sodom as long as there was a righteous person in there. Not even bride, a righteous person. So he had to first call them out. He had to call Rahab out. Hallelujah. Before he could destroy that city because there was a seed. Somebody say praise the Lord. So this word has offered to you in this hour, friends, grace to change your citizenship from one kingdom to another. Hallelujah. You were once under the bondage of your own thoughts, of your own views, of maybe the teachings of other people. But the grace of God tonight, the grace of God has allowed for the preaching of the word to come into your lives and to minister unto you. Hallelujah. And he gives you a sign that you show on the outside. There's life. Hallelujah. We found something open to us through the preaching of the word. Amen. A light shined into the darkness of our lives. And now we're pressing toward that life just as a seed presses towards the sun. When the sun quickens it, that seed is heading, that life is heading, aiming to where that sun is. It's drawn to that sun. You're drawn to that word you heard from your theophany. Hallelujah. So we press. To use another example real quick, as Brother Branham referred to the lily that was down in the bottom of the pond. Friends, that was a lily pond where his church was built. They had to drain it before they could build a church. In that pond is a seed of a lily. And that the sun comes by and begins to call. And that seed then begins to respond. But here that seed of that lily, it's buried in muck and mire. And it's got, you know, frogs and toads and turtles and Helldivers. It can't see clearly. But the sun comes over and it's drawn to that sun. And the sun says, there's something beautiful in you. You don't know who you are. You don't know what I put in you. You don't know what I made you as. But I'm telling you, something beautiful is down on the inside. Come. And that lily is drawn and it begins to grow and it begins to press forward. And everything around it is testifying against it. Everything around it is saying, you know, just look at where you're at. Look at who are you kidding? Look at where you're coming from. The muck and the mire. Who do you think you are? But that lily continues to grow and continues to press until one day it breaks the surface of the water and the most beautiful thing opens up. Hallelujah. And that beauty of that lily is can bring peace and comfort to a funeral service. Amen. Something beautiful. It was there all along. But it had to come into the presence of the sun to manifest what it was. Hallelujah. So a light shined in the darkness of your life, began to draw you. And as I mentioned on Sunday, I looked at myself when this wonderful truth was coming across my path. And I looked at myself and I thought, man, I can never be like these people. They're angels. Yeah, I found out there's all kinds of angels. I didn't know what was down here, but he did. I'm not making myself what I am. He is. Hallelujah. So we press like that lily from the bottom of the pond. So Rahab was elevated by the message that she received. And her dwelling place was changed from a mean-walled city of Jericho to the house of God's bread. Hallelujah. And so is it today, friends. God has given us a message, and that message has literally changed our dwelling place. It changed what our thoughts, the thoughts that our minds dwell on. That's your dwelling place. Hallelujah. So we're making choices, of course, but the devil doesn't want you to know that you have a choice. God has given us the power to walk in our choice and to change our dwelling place. He's given us the power, if we can receive it, to go in a rapture. But you have to first make the choice. And then you can change where your mind goes. Now, we all make wrong choices. It's not the end of the world. I've had people come for prayer. Brother Baker, you know, I felt like the Lord told me to do this, and then I did that, and, you know, is it over for me? No. That's what it means to be a child of God. You don't do that with your own children, do you? Hope not. Well, you know, my toddler, was 2 years old and started to walk, but tipped right over. I told him, don't ever try that again. No, you never did no such thing. In fact, you encouraged that little toddler and you said, he's walking, she's walking, right? And eventually their actions lined up to what you were saying. But they had to get out of balance a little bit this way or that way. Come on, friends. I'm not encouraging you to make wrong choices, but we will make wrong choices and we'll learn from it. Hallelujah. God gives us more chances until we come to the place where the devil has lost all power over us. Amen. And the word has preeminence. So quickly now, Samson, he made some wrong choices, did he not? He gave away his secrets when he laid his head into Delilah's lap. We give away our secrets of this message and walk away from them, and we will lose the power that comes with it. Show me where anybody's prospered that left this message. Come on, friends. Show me what they got. They're always trying to tell you that what you got ain't right. Well, what do you got? What did you swap it for? I see you're putting on a pair of slacks, sister, right? I see you, brother, it's okay to drink a six-pack now, just as long as it isn't a seven-pack. You can't make this stuff up. Every bit of Samson's power was identified with the head. His head was shaved, and his eyes were put out. Everything dealt with his headship, a shadow, a type for us in this last day. And it looked like that was the end of the matter. But God began to deal with him again, even though he'd made some wrong choices. And his hair began to grow. And he felt back one day. And he felt his hair was beginning to come back. And friends, that was to let him know that his covenant had not left him. Amen. Friends, he told you, I will be with you always. He didn't say, I'm going to leave you somewhere along the way. He said, I'll be with you to the ends of the world. So that means that when we're low, that means when we make the wrong choices, guess what? He's still with you. But it's up to us now to reach back and feel that covenant growing once again and think about the possibilities of revival. I want to drive to this point, friends. As we were coming to church, you know, everything isn't a sign. I know that. But as we were coming to church, we didn't even make it down the block. And there's this great big rainbow that's, you know, going from one mountain range to another, right? So Sister Baker, it's raining. Sister Jennifer, excuse me. So it's raining. And she says, well, she couldn't take a picture through the windshield. So she gets out and she's getting a little bit wet. But this is beautiful. It's wonderful, right? And then she gets back in and we start heading the rest of the way down the block. No, it's not a rainbow. It's a double rainbow. Oh, we've got a double portion. We've been given a covenant by the angel of his own covenant. And we need to remind ourselves and remind one another that we are under a covenant. Abraham was under a covenant. Lot wasn't. But since Abraham was under a covenant, God was duty bound. Abraham left and went into Egypt, but God never left. God drove him back. God appeared to a righteous king in a dream. Amen. To make sure that his son got sent back. Hallelujah. So a Nazirite had a certain way that they had to come in order to make things right. They had to bring a lamb and so forth. But Samson didn't have one. And yet he had a Nazirite vow. All he had at that time was a boy to lead him around. He's blind now. He's got a boy to lead him. Samson didn't have a lamb. And so Samson said, Lord, I don't have a sacrifice, so I will offer myself as a living sacrifice. So Samson offered to God himself, and he ended up slaying more Philistines in his death than he ever did in his life. Hallelujah. Friends, the angel of his own covenant, he defeated death. He conquered death in his death. He conquered more in his death than he did in his life, showing that he's the great and mighty conqueror. Sometimes we make bad choices, but God gives us the opportunity, friends, to die out in order to come back and redeem the time that is lost. Come on, friends. It ain't over till it's over. Don't toss anybody under the bus. But God, who's rich in mercy. So by surrendering our lives to him, we have the right to take back all that we have lost. We have the right in this last age to take back all that man has lost. So Samson, through the act of surrender, he changed his dwelling, but it took death to bring that change. So is it with you and I. It won't take a physical death, it'll take a spiritual death. It'll take death to change our dwelling also. We have to die out to our old citizenship. We can't be of the kingdoms of this world and be of the kingdom of heaven. Make up your mind. How long halt ye between two opinions? Either he's your Lord or he's not. You can't serve two masters. You halfway try and do it and you wonder why it don't work or halfway works or something else. You got to come all the way. Amen. There can't be any retreat, any escape. There can't be any going back. Die to that old citizenship. Die to the way that we looked at things. Die to your own desires. And excuse me, friends, but we've all come from somewhere. Don't come here and think that you know everything. If you know everything, God's done with you. Don't let your pride get in the way. God resists the proud. I am learning every day. I am growing every day. So die to the way that you look at things. Die to your own desires. And the Holy Spirit will lead you. The Holy Spirit wants to lead us ultimately into other dimensions. Amen. You're in this dimension now, but He wants to lead you into other dimensions. But He cannot unless we first surrender to Him. The first dimension that He takes you to is in heavenly places. Amen. You are literally seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Yet your flesh is still here. But there's a part of you that's somewhere else. When a prophet sees a vision, he doesn't go to sleep, but he breaks into another dimension while his conscious mind is still awake, right? And he tells us the Holy Spirit is here. Just press into it, he says. Now, friends, we don't have to wait for anything in this age, but we do have to press into it, right? A prophet looked into that other dimension, and he saw an open door, and he told us it's open. We have to press into it. Preachers and laity alike. In fact, preachers got to press first. You can't preach something unless you... Amen. So a minister presses. Other members of the bride, they press at the same time. Don't be a spectator. I lost some of you a long time ago. Some of you are just drifting. Oh, it's just another Wednesday. I'm tired. When's this guy going to shut up? Right? Others of you are on your seat, on the edge of your seat, because you realize God is speaking to you, and you don't have a hireling here. You're not looking for, well, it's got to be this certain gift, or it's got to be this person, and wow, and this, that, and the other. No, it's got to be God speaking through human lips, and it's got to be God hearing what's being preached, and it'll change your life. It will endue you with power from on high. Hallelujah. So we all have to press into it. Right? And the more we get into sync in a service, the more we all get out of it. Amen. So a minister presses, the lady presses at the very same time. And friends, what we're doing, Brother Branham told us this many times in different ways, we are pressing against darkness. And an invisible audience is declaring, press this battle. Press until you break through. Hallelujah. All heaven is backing you up. But you got to press. You got to press. Friends, if it was only up to them to do it, they'd be here doing it. You got to do it. Brother Branham got depressed at one point, and a voice asked him, would you like to see over into the other side? And he said, oh, would I? And so when he passed into that dimension and he saw millions of his converts, they said to him, we wouldn't be here if only you had not pressed. Well, they had to press too. He was depressed. Now he's getting impressed. Friends, our pressing is the least that we can do in response to the word. It's not in vain. Any effort that you put forth is not in vain. The work that we do when we press into these things is not in vain. They are a great part of pressing against the darkness. Darkness is here, but the light has to press against the darkness. Amen. So I thank God that there are those that are here tonight that are saying, I'm not going to let darkness overtake my home. I will not surrender my home. No, devil, that's still my boy. That's still my daughter. That's still my husband. I am not going to allow your darkness to encroach on my church, on my home, in my life. I'm pressing back. Which is stronger, light or darkness? When darkness shines, when light shines, darkness has to move back, friends. So we are laying aside every weight and we are pressing. And we have to lay aside things, friends, not carry them around. God's not impressed with it. You're not earning any extra bonus points. He paid the price. Lay it down. So we don't have to carry any excess baggage that Satan places on us. We don't have to take it another step. Somebody's going to take this land. Somebody's going to possess every promise. Somebody's going to press toward the mark, the high calling in Jesus Christ. Somebody's going to take a rapture. And those that have gone before us, they're dependent on us. This is our part. This is our day. This is the portion of the word to be fulfilled in our day. Darkness on every side, friends. Pressure everywhere. Amen. But we are commanded to press this battle. And we're looking to the author and finisher of our faith. We're looking to King Jesus tonight for everything that we have need of. So we're going to take this battle to our enemy and we're going to press into our inheritance. Anybody else say amen to that? We are pressing out the darkness. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That little button of light that's you is pressing against the darkness. You know, if you light a match in a dark room, I don't care if it's the tiniest match on the planet, there's light. Hallelujah. You say, well, I'm not very much. You don't have to be very much. Just let there be light. Oh, hallelujah. Let there be light. Brother Bram says quickly now in the message, Messiah, he says, oh, I want to see the church press into that place where it can come like God wants it to be. Oh, we're praying, God do this, God do that. He's saying, no, 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 no. You know where he wants you to be. I long to see you press to the place. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Friends, you can press against those bad dreams. You can press against those night spooks. Amen. I don't care how long you've been spooked by them. You can push back. Say, I don't have to put up with that devil. I'm a child of the light, not a child of the darkness. Amen. You can press against that depression. You can press against that discouragement. You can press against that anxiety. And you can say, I refuse to receive it. Move back. Hallelujah. Take this battle to your enemy and press into your inheritance. Press into that darkness and let that light shine. Again, in desperations, Brother Brown says, desperation, when thou seekest me with all thine heart, then I'll hear from you. See? The kingdom, he says. The law and the prophets were until John. Since then, the kingdom of heaven has been preached and man press into it. He says, you don't just stand around and say, pick me up by the collar, Lord, and push me in. You press into it. He preached the token that morning. He preached desperation that night. You press into it. You get desperate between life and death. No door number three. How many of you are willing to fight tonight? Amen. One more quote. Go ahead and stand to your feet. One more quote from the message to the Messiah. You see what Messiah is? Messiah is the kingdom of God. Notice he didn't say Messiah is just the Lord. He said Messiah is the kingdom of God. Anointed ones. He was the anointed one. Now there are anointed ones. Right? Them anointed with the same spirit that he was anointed with. One said to him one day, will my son sit at the right and the left hand? And he said, Can you drink the cup that I drink? Can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? She said, yeah. And he said, well, you will. But the kingdom, to sit right and left hand, it's not mine to give. So it showed that we could drink the same cup of persecution. We could be called Beelzebub or whatever it might be and still be baptized with the same spirit that he's baptized with. So if he was called Messiah, which he was, because he was anointed with that Holy Spirit, and any church that's anointed with the same Holy Spirit is a Messiah. A little anointed one. A littler, smaller. Oh, he didn't say that, did he? A littler, smaller God. One with authority. One with power. One with the Word. One with the same Father. And someday, when this body is resurrected, I hope beforehand that God can get a hold of a bunch of people that'll manifest the power in every dimension that it's supposed to be in. That means it's supposed to be in more than just this dimension. Amen. That's how Satan gets cast down. And the other angels. Because we're dimension climbers. We are being, you descended, now you're ascending. What goes down is going to go up. But in order for it to go up, it had to come down first. To manifest his power in every dimension that it's supposed to be in. Messiah, anointed one, a king, a deliverer. He says, you are kings and priests. He tells us in the book of Revelation, I've made you kings and priests. Little K, he's big K. You're kings and priests. Kings to bring in, priests to minister to, a Messiah. His signs was to follow in all ages, reflecting his light, his presence with his kingdom people. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. In this dimension, as it is in the other dimension. In every dimension. Hallelujah. Every dimension. We are dimension climbers tonight, friends. Dimensions, as we looked at on Sunday, dimensions have been discovered that have been here all along. We didn't invent radio waves. We discovered that there was another dimension that they propagated through. Amen. We discovered, you know, the words that Adam spoke in the garden, the words that Daniel cried out to the Lord, the words that Jesus cried when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Those words are still here tonight. The signal gets weaker and weaker, but it's still here. You know, that'll give you a little bit of a clue of how things will be played back on Judgment Day. People can say, well, I never said that. Oh, well, here it is. Let's just pull that signal out. Here's exactly what you said. Right? I want him to put that in the sea of forgetfulness. Hallelujah. I want him to annihilate those waves. Hallelujah. I want another wave to propagate through me. Hallelujah. I want that light to shine through me. Praise his wonderful name. All we need, friends, as we've continued to say over and over, and we will say it again, all we need is one person on fire. And it'll mean more to us than 40 revival services. Right? And we know that every generation is entitled or needs. They need and they're entitled to their own revival. Right? Our children are not going in on our revival. Right? Some of us may be getting a little longer in tooth. Some of us may be getting, you know, older and grayer and whatever. And our energy might be waning away. But there's another generation. Amen. And they are entitled. Right? And I was reminded again this week. The Lord has been dealing with me. And then somebody else just said this. Said, okay, you know, we're getting a little older as a church. We've been together for, you know, many, many years. Some of you have been with us for almost from the very beginning. And we come to church, and if we're not careful, we have less energy. I can remember, you know, we'd go to church on Wednesday night, and we'd go out to Taco Bell or something and have fellowship afterwards. Remember that? In your 30s? Right? Yeah. I have no... I go home now. Not because I don't love fellowship, but I just don't have that kind of energy anymore. Right? So, but somebody created an atmosphere for us. We came into life. Right? So, us older folk, we gotta press for our children's sake. For the next generation's sake. Don't look over, well, he's sleeping, he's this or that. Well, if you'd maybe amen real loud, they'd wake up. If you pull on the word, the service will get more lively. Amen. That's the solution. You want your young people, you want to see your children and other young people in revival? Do your part. Create that atmosphere. Prepare before you come. You don't have to go to Taco Bell afterwards, but while you're here, do your part. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's still here, friends. He's still alive. The best is yet to come. It gets gooder and gooder and gooder. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Do you love him tonight? How are you going to press? Amen. He said, oh, I pressed, you know, I've heard the message, I know the message, and I was raised in the message, and I got the Holy Ghost. You ain't changed yet, are you? You're still being changed. As long as you're here, you're being changed. God's not wasting time. When your time is up, he'll take you home, but your time ain't up. So press. Press. Don't depress. Upward press. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Got to keep pressing on. Amen. I was trying to remember I was thinking about this earlier today. We've sang it before and I couldn't remember the words, but I just asked the musicians and right away. Hallelujah. Did you know that Bob Dylan wrote this song? Yeah, the second verse is not quite spiritual, because he points out how Adam fell and we all fell, and so that's why we gotta just, you know, whatever. It kind of comes down, but this verse in the other part of it, he wrote this. Anointing is anointing, right? I don't care who. There's one source. Gotta keep pressing on. Let's press. That's what Paul said. Press towards